Gamertag Radio presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
All right, E3 2018, and the coverage continues here at Gamertag Radio. This is a special episode of GTR live from Los Angeles. And interesting conversation we're going to have today. It's all about The Division 2, hands-on impressions. We play this Sunday, the day before Ubisoft press conference, but now we're allowed to talk about it because the press conference just happened. So we have joining me Peter and also Paris in the house. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Yeah. P, I know you're a fan of The Division. I'm a fan of The Division. But I think it's good to start with someone that just started playing again for the first time. You think that's the right way to start?
Again for the first time?
You know what I'm trying to say.
I think before we go there, I think maybe we should talk a little bit about the premise.
Yeah, you know what? You start.
Of the game.
You
and
start,
that way
yeah.
we can transition yes. into our individual.
I apologize. I'm just so hyped to hear Paris' opinion.
I get it. And it's worth it. It's worth
yeah, it's
it.
Worth it.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
So we're talking The Division 2 set in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Happens 8 months after the events of the original Division 1 that came out.
Yeah.
So Black Friday has happened. The plague has gone through. Division agents have cleared it out of New York City. But now we've got another infestation that has occurred in Washington, D.C., has affected, you know, the government. Obviously, it's the state. It's the capital of the country. So you've got all of the most important things that have gone on. You've got government functions. Sarah, which is actually the Division HQ, is actually offline. It's offline and unavailable now. And your job as a Division agent is to come in and basically do what we did as agents in the Division 2 years ago, which is investigate, reclaim, and uplift the Division back online. You know, and that's, you know, going in and, you know, going in through the cities. The distress call has been put out. Obviously, you know, me and Danny have our orange rings lit up. We're ready to go.
Ready, son.
Paris trying to find the watch. But I think he's got it on now because I think he's ready to go.
Yeah. But before we go to Paris, Pete.
Okay.
I know we were having this discussion even before we went to the preview event. Paris, I know, mentioned it could be Paris in France, the location.
Well, I think he said London, correct?
I mean, London. My bad. Yeah, you're right.
There was different conversations we've had, whether it's been online here on the show, or we've been talking it offline. Stuff like that. So there was, you know, obviously Chicago was a concept. LA might have been a concept.
And why was that?
Honestly, I think it was because we didn't expect them to. I think the thought pattern was major city. Right, where would it have the most effect in a game like that?
Yes,
and I think terrain, as well as, you know, transportation systems, etc., those type of things played into the decisions of why we were thinking places like London. Obviously, you know,
the subway system.
If you go from a worldwide perspective, you know, you take the satellite view at this point, you're thinking maybe London, Hong Kong, Tokyo would have been, you know, locations that it could have been. You know, something plausible for the narrative for Division 2. Major city like Chicago, LA, Atlanta even could have been, you know, a possibility. Strange that we never really thought that Washington, D.C. would be a target.
That, honestly, that was a very surprising location. I was not expecting DC. That was the last place I was thinking.
What's crazy though is after you think about it, it's like, well, damn, shit.
It makes sense
that's,
though.
That's the, they should have absolutely gone there. Surprising they didn't go there first. Yeah. But they wanted to go for the financial. They wanted to go for the financial epicenter, which is New York City, the stock exchange, etc. Cripple the city from the infrastructure, you know, from the financial perspective, and then let it, you know, go through pervasively.
Yeah.
Now that Division agents have been, you know, reassigned to Washington, D.C. Paris has had his opportunity to get his hands on.
He played it before us, by the way.
He played it, period.
Period. We haven't even played at all.
We don't get our opportunity until, I think, later on this week.
We'll play it.
You know, we'll have our opportunity, but Paris has his opportunity, and the mic is yours, sir.
Yeah, I'm super curious.
I love when we record together because it's hilarious watching these two because both of them got their hands like damn near in each other's faces. Like, wait, hold on, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. But
we're Latin. It happens like that.
Yeah, it's a Latin thing.
Yes, I got hands on with it today and I was actually able to capture my second playthrough as well. Because what they did was they allowed us to play this, not even a mission, but play this first scenario without capturing, and then once everyone understood their roles and how to do everything, they let us play it a second time and capture the footage. I'll have a YouTube video up at some point when I get time post E3.
Twitch.
I'll have a YouTube video up sometime post E3 and Twitch. And like I said, and we also will have an interview with the creative director of the Division 2 as well. And like I told him when we recorded, you know, I wasn't a fan of the original Division early on. I did not play it for virtually 2 years before I gave it a real shot. And here in the last couple months, I've really started to play it and understand the Division and really started to grow in me. And I really liked what Massive has done with the Division post 1.8 update. And to jump into the Division 2 felt very, very familiar to me. Had no issues picking up the controls. I didn't even have to look at anything or think how things were mapped. I just ran in and started playing. And the scenario that they gave us, it was interesting and cool, which is just a small sliver of what we can expect in a Division 2. It wasn't a mission, wasn't a side mission. It wasn't an encounter. This was just something that randomly happens out in the open world of Washington, D.C., where basically there was this crash airplane. You know, the what do you even call them? I mean, what do you call them? They're not the Resistance. What are they?
I want to say it was the Sons of Truth or something like that. It was a faction.
A faction. That's the best way to say it. This particular faction took control of this area. So as agents, four of us playing co-op, we went in to take back control of this particular area. And the way the scenario worked out was a lot of fun. You had red bar enemies, you had purple bar enemies, and you had a couple basically yellow bar enemies as well, which were like, you know, kind of the quote unquote mini boss of those areas. And the weapon play felt really good, really, really good. Some of the little tiny nuances that I noticed, which we talked to the developers post playing, was it felt like the camera was closer behind you because you're in a third person view. It felt like your agent was bigger, like the camera was closer behind him. What we found out is they had raised it, 5 centimeters taller.
Yep.
When I was sprinting with my agent, I was like, this feels slower than a Division. But actually what they were saying was it was the same exact speed. But now because you're in this open world, it expands it more. So even though you're going the same speed, it just seems like you're going slower because you're covering the same amount of distance, but you see more area in the world at the same time. I mean, it might sound a little confusing, but it makes total sense when you play. And going from kind of the almost corridor shooter of New York City to just this open world summertime, not winter, but summertime of Washington, D.C. felt refreshing. And like I said, the gameplay, the gunplay was fun. The cover system totally worked the way that you expected. You know, like I said, you had your primary weapon, you had your secondary weapon, and then you had your specialized weapon. And because we were playing with already tailored agents, like we couldn't customize it or anything, the specialized weapon that I had was a grenade launcher. And even if you watch my capture footage, I didn't even think to use it because it's just not something I was using when I was playing in the first Division. I didn't even start using it until towards the end of the encounter. The other thing, we only had one of our, is it perks, skills? Skills.
Yeah.
Skills, right?
Yeah.
Well, instead of having 2 skills, I only had one, which was called Hive, which basically once I deployed it, especially on a yellow bar boss, would just kind of disrupt him from being able to use any of his weapons and basically stun him. And then you can take down his shield and mow him down pretty quickly. communication was definitely very key, because it was funny. The developers told us, hey, we've set up this demo. It's not easy. It's going to be a little hard. You're going to need to communicate to get through this. And, you know, I'm going through, I'm getting headshots, I'm feeling all good about myself. And I decided to whip out my shotgun thinking it's red bar enemies. So I roll up on this one part with the red, thinking of red bars. They're all purple. And I'm like, oh no. And then I'm trying to get out of there, and they wind up taking me down. And the AI of the enemies, actually, we were joking. It seemed like they were targeting me because they were grenade spamming big time.
Big time.
Even if I was just sitting in one cover spot, they were smart enough to know, oh no, that dumb sitting right there in cover, he ain't moving. Hit him with a bunch of grenades. And they were throwing grenades and taking me out that way. So communication was definitely key in being able to clear this mission. And like I said, it was an absolute blast, man. I am very excited for what we can expect for the Division 2 when it comes out in March. I guess, yeah, we're allowed to talk about everything that we saw at this point. Yes. So, you know, one of the big things, and please guys jump in.
Well, before you go into other things, I do want to stop you there, because you mentioned corridor shooting. And the way it feels that you're more expansive, and because now you're in, one of the things we want to talk about is we're in Washington, D.C. It's no longer the dense, you know, ecosystem of New York City. You know, we saw from the press conference at Xbox, they started off in what felt like a jungle environment. You know, obviously it was, more lush vegetation. You know, we've seen, you know, the wide open expanse of parks where, you know, there was, I think it was the crashed Air Force One on the lawn of the White House or something like that. You know, so you had very wide open area. And then from what we've seen elsewhere, you know, you've got suburbs, you've got some commercial areas, which may not be as dense as New York, but still it's a commercial environment. So you've got, I think it was 6 different environments that we saw throughout, whether it was gameplay, you know, press conference and speaking with developers and stuff like that. So it's not just, you know, you're running through New York City, and we're talking a 1-to-1 replica of Washington, D.C., 20% larger than, you know, what we had in the first division in New York City. The 1-to-1 replica is the one that actually got me the most. It was like, wow. So they were talking about how people who are very familiar with the city of Washington, D.C. will be able to traverse, you know, the gameplay area of the city if they're familiar with it, because they went that detailed with it. And, you know, I don't know how you felt with it, because, you know, as you started off in a somewhat parky area, and then you went into I think it was a museum. And then from there, it was just like your area of gameplay just kept switching back and forth between open to close to open again. So I don't know. Talk to me about that.
Well, again, I mean, that's kind of the diversity that they were able to bring in that demo that we had, that I felt you didn't have so much in the Division game, where like I said, it felt more, and it wasn't true corridor, like you're shooting down hallways the entire time, but it was a lot of stuff inside buildings, down subways, you know, at a pier, things like that. Whereas just like you said, you're out in an open field and you need to strategically use the cover that's out in that open field to be able to traverse that environment. And like you said, there's 6 different environments that you can expect to see when you're playing in this game. And like you said, it's also a 1-to-1 replication of Washington, D.C., 20% larger than what we had with Manhattan in the Division 1. I was digging it. Obviously, we only got one slice to see what it is, but it just shows the potential of what we can have. And obviously, you know, we had a creative director. He gave us a presentation beforehand, like I said, explaining the 6 different environments as well. So, I mean, I was really liking it graphically. I mean, it was fantastic. To me, it definitely seemed like it was an upgrade from what we had in a Division 1. Will that make it to the final game? I mean, we'll see. We're obviously playing on a PC builds when we got to play. But going back to what I was saying before, just one of the highlights for me, because I mean, you know me, big thing that I was looking for is, what's the end game? What is your philosophy for the end game? Mm-hmm. And that was literally one of the first things that they talk about, is end game philosophy for the Division 2. they have absolutely taken lessons learned from the Division One, and they're not going to repeat, at least they say they're not going to repeat the mistakes that they had back in 2016. And they're going to respect the gamer's time because they know not everyone can be super hardcore, so that even when you do get a chance to play, you're going to be rewarded for it. Now, will I get the same rewards playing 3 hours that I would get playing 20? No, but that's the whole point. You will be rewarded for your time investment. But at the same time, if you just don't simply have that time to invest into the game, you will get a comparable reward for the time that you do put in. So, I really appreciate that. I think one of the biggest things that came out of this for me was they laid out a year one roadmap right off the bat. Was no ifs, ands, or buts. Hey, we hope, maybe, kind of. No, every 3 months in year one, you can expect a world event and a title update every 3 months. And it's free. They're not charging you for this DLC. Year one is going to be free because their philosophy is they want everyone that picks up the Division Two to be able to experience all the content that they had. Now, did they get into PvP, the Dark Zone, Survivor mode, you know, incursions or anything? No, they didn't talk about that stuff right now. I expect all that to come later. But like I said, it was the philosophy of what the end game is going to be that they were laying out. So I really appreciate that and got me excited, because with a lot of these quote unquote shared shooters, you've not been hearing that communication, you know, right off the top. It's always come later after the community yelled and screamed at them. Oh, wait, we need to fix this. And then they scramble and get something in there. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing for me that came out of this was,
yes,
they're going to have an 8-person raid.
Now,
and you hold on.
Okay.
And
go
multiple raids, not just one raid and we're just doing that over and over again. They're explaining, yeah, we will have multiple raids in this game. It's going to be 8-person. And it will be for the hardcore. It will be the most challenging content that you will get in the Division 2, which I think is key because, you know, again, coming from the Destiny universe, not everything needs to be catered towards a casual audience. You know, some things need to be catered towards the hardcore audience that is going to put in the time, that does understand the weapon system, that does know how to communicate and do all these kind of things. So, like I said, for a first impression of what they're bringing to the Division 2, I came away very impressed. Very, very impressed. I was excited to learn more about this game, and just everything that we saw today has, like I said, has me super excited for the potential of what this game can be next March 15th, 2019. Just like I told you, Danny, even though you kept trying to say it was coming this year.
And let me dream for a second. No, but Paris, the question I was going to ask you about that raid, usually a lot of companies, you know, other shooters, open world shooters like that, they really won't say anything. Like you said, they wait until after the game launches. This is the first time that a company like Ubisoft, Massive, that they're actually saying this early. The game hasn't even came out yet.
I disagree on that.
You think? Okay.
I mean, Bungie was clear from the get that we were getting a raid with Destiny.
Okay.
That was one of the selling points when they originally announced it. I mean, this is new for the Division, obviously. Anthem sure as hell didn't say anything like this when we got any information about that this week.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's very exciting because that is the in-game activity that is the pinnacle. Oh, and he mentioned you will get unique rewards from that raid. You know, you will get something from that raid that if someone sees you out in the world, they will know that dude finished the raid. You know, you will easily be recognized that way, which I think may sound simple in nature, but it's a badge of honor. You want that. You want that piece of gear from the raid that signifies that, yep, I did and completed the raid. You didn't. You go do it now, you know?
Now, my question that I have for you guys, typically when people hear raid, they're thinking puzzles, crazy boss battles, all that stuff. The Division is not like that at all compared to like Destiny. So in us guessing, what do you think the raid will be for this type of game? Because there is no puzzles.
Puzzles, crazy boss battles. It has to be. It has to be. There has to be.
I don't think so.
There has to be an activity that is going to require the team to communicate and problem solve to get around. It can't just be straightforward, just shoot the boss until he's dead. It has to be more complicated than that.
But it's not puzzles, destiny puzzles. It's more
So you can't use one example of a raid that you may have experienced in the past and use that as the immediate qualifier for all raids moving forward.
Okay.
Right. You have to think in terms of the word raid. You've got, you know, MMORPGs such as World of Warcraft and things like and games of that nature that take the overall theme of the game and force you into an encounter. And in this case, we're talking The Division. You don't have warlocks and hunters that are jumping and doing puzzles. That's not a critical part of the game. So what, in my opinion, and you know, if I'm right, fantastic. If I'm wrong, which I am most of the time, you know, it's, you know, par for the course. I'm consistent. I think what we're going to see are more coordinated efforts between teams. Like Paris said, communication, coordination, maybe things that are based on skill. So maybe you've got someone with a specific skill set that allows them to maybe hack a piece of equipment that, okay, so now one person's going to hack a piece of equipment. The rest of the team has to defend them or do more coordinated efforts like that. So you've got two or three people, you've got eight people. So now you've got to appease eight different people. And what they're going to do, they're going to force people to do tailored gear sets to those things because they talked about that varied gear-related gameplay. So you're going to have people, and I'm going to use examples from Division 1. You know, you're going to have people who have Lone Star type sets. You know, who are basically tanks. You know, you can chunk a lot of ammo downrange. You know, you're going to have support people who are going to be able to throw out healing kits and support stations. You're going to have people like Predators who are able to drop a lot of DPS downrange. You know, so you're going to have varied gear sets within your team that are going to be required. You can't all go in with Predator sets. You can't all go in with defense sets because then, you know, it's going to be a boring game at that point. Mm-hmm. But you're going to force people to have varied loadouts so that way, hopefully, you can use those towards these end game raids so that you've got coordinated efforts. So you can have some people that are going to be doing support. Suppressing people. You're going to have people who are doing mad DPS. You're going to have people who are going to be healing. We don't know. It's the unknown. And that's the excitement that's building now because they've announced the raid.
But Pete, the first Division, it had kind of like a mini raid, the incursion. Do you think that's similar? Like maybe because there was some levels. To me, it was really tough.
I think that was one of the few weak points in the first Division.
Okay,
because in essence, those were just bullet sponge bosses.
Yeah, that was a major
complaint with the community.
Yeah. Too much.
And for those that are unfamiliar with the terms, bullet sponges essentially were, you know, you sat there and just had to unload, you know, ammo into a specific boss. And, you know, it was similar to Horde mode. It was closer to Horde mode with a big bullet sponge boss that just had to take a lot of damage before it actually went down. Mm-hmm. You know, force the players to, again, tailor gear sets, maybe throw out, grenades, you know, whether it be electrical or what have you, to weaken the boss so that way you could put more DPS into it. I'm thinking it's going to be something akin to that, but I think because when you've got, again, eight players in a raid, you want to have a coordinated effort. I think bullet sponging as a boss, as your end game, is going to be a big mistake at the end of the day. You know, people want more. They don't want to just sit there and just, you know, ADS and fire. As fun as it may seem, it's boring. You know, you don't want to do that. You're already doing that, getting up to that. So I think that's going to be something we see, a more coordinated effort that forces two or three, you know, multiple groups of the eight people going in to work towards the final effort.
You know, for those who are listening to this, make sure to listen to the interview that we have about the Division 2. I think it was a freaking awesome conversation. And I feel like the person that we interviewed, what was the position in Massive?
Julian, he was the creative director. And producer.
He was very open with our questions. I feel good. I feel like I think they found like they found the niche for this game, because I think that based on the feedback, and not only that, not only the feedback, but the mistakes that they had a couple when the game launched, and also they got to see the Division. They learned from everybody's mistakes and the feedback from the fans. I think they found like the right game, the right stuff for the Division 2, man. Paris, I know you were the first one that started explaining that you're a hardcore fan of Destiny 2. You start playing 1.8 update. You like the content. He was super open with you too, man, with the stuff that you were bringing up. And I think this game is going to be legit, man, when it comes out, man. March of 2019. I think it was awesome, man. The great conversation, man. Paris, I think that was dope.
Yeah, like I said, I'm really anticipating this now. It's funny. Coming into E3, kept saying Division 2 is probably going to be one of my most anticipated games, and actually getting hands-on with it now and being able to play it and see it for myself and talk to the creative director and hear from his own words what they're thinking about doing with this game. You know, and we still not heard everything. There's so many more things we still got to hear about this game. It has me excited for the potential of it and what it could be. I'm just going to be real here, and not comparing it to Destiny, but comparing it to what we know of Anthem right now. And it's funny, because even going into that Xbox briefing and what they showed at the briefing, 20 times better than what EA did at their briefing for Anthem, because they showed off the weapon system. They showed off the new world. They gave you reasons that, oh, here's loot. Here's how I can do this. How I do that. You know, I understood what they were trying to do in a Division with that trailer versus what EA was trying to show for Anthem, where I still don't know what the hell Anthem is. I just don't. And that's going to be a major problem for them going into 2019. And I said it before E3, and I'll say it now. If I had to choose between those two, I'm going to choose the Division 2, because Massive has already made their mistakes with the Division. They've learned from them. They're iterating on them. And now we're seeing that culminate with the Division 2. And let's be real, they've also seen Bungie basically do the same thing that Massive did. They had problems with Destiny 1. They fixed those problems. And then they took all of those good things they did, crumpled it, threw it in the trash, and we got Destiny 2. And now they're scrambling once again to fix all those things. And I'm pretty sure Massive has looked at that. I mean, hell, Julian even mentioned Destiny in the interview, because I wasn't going to say the name of the game, but he knew what I was talking about. That, yeah, they look at the competition. They know what they're doing. So, like I said, I'm excited for it. A beta's coming. That got announced during the Xbox media brief. I know Pete already signed up for it. I need to sign up for it. So, hey, let's get a beta. Let's get as many people into it as possible. Get the feedback on it, good and bad. And hopefully by the time we get to March, this Division 2 can be the best game it can be. And like I said, the key thing for me, I'm not saying for anyone else, but for me, is what am I going to do in the end game? What incentive am I going to have every day to sign on and go into that world and grind for gear and you know, do activities and all that? What are the things that are going to challenge me on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? You know, and we've kind of seen them already dabbling with the global events and things like that, and all the other, you know, new activity that they add in the original Division. They all better be there in a Division 2 plus some, because that's for me as a hardcore player. That's what I'm going to be looking for.
I think at the end of the day, it's all about communication with the developers, to the consumers, to the fans. By them telling us what's going on, what's going to happen in the game, the stuff that we're going to see in the game once it comes out, yo, it hyped me up.
Well,
I haven't even played the game, and I'm freaking hyped based on those.
The fact that they started off that conversation with us this morning, mm-hmm. of saying end game first philosophy. I mean, that was the biggest knock from Paris's mouth 2 years ago when we were here in LA for that preview event. That was his biggest complaint, and his biggest concern was, what is the end game? What are we doing? What are, you know, what's going to entice me to continue to play? And I love the fact that they address it up front first and foremost, right? So on top of that, you know, we mentioned season, you know, first year, all post-launch content is going to be free. From the roadmap that they showed, I saw title updates, seasonal updates, and then I from what it looked like, they're renaming global events to world events. Yeah. So I like that. Obviously, no talk about PvP. So obviously, we've got, what, 8-9 months now to launch. So we've got plenty of time to cross into that. I'm so stoked. Like I left. I was actually watching you playing the game, and I'm sitting here gripping your chair because I wanted to jump in and play so bad. And I'm so glad that, hey, you had a chance to play and you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I absolutely enjoyed it. So one funny thing that happened a couple times when I was playing was I wanted to pull up the world map to see what it looked like. And the very first time I pulled it up, immediately crashed the game. Again, it's demo, early builds. This is expected, no big deal. So they politely asked us to not do that again until we complete, finish the mission, just in case it crashed again. So I don't know if you noticed, but, and this would be in my capture footage, I'd have to look at it. I was able to successfully pull up the map and got a good glimpse at it. Again, early build, probably purposely not in there. No dark zone. We did not see the dark zone in there at all. From talking to Julian, he didn't specifically say it, but he didn't flat out say it wasn't there. There's going to be a dark zone. There has to be. And I'm very curious to see what they plan to do with the dark zone to fix it from the issues that we have. And this is a funny story. So I went back and listened to that interview you and I did for the first division back in January 2016. And like you said, I'm bringing up all the in-game stuff because that was my concern then. And it was funny listening to, I believe his name was Magnus, who was the creative director. Then kept emphasizing the dark zone and how it was going to work and how people were going to self-police themselves in the dark zone. Freaking disaster, because internet human nature says unless you have some checks and balances in there, people are going to be a-holes. And we got all this cheating and everything that's happened in the current dark zone. So I really hope we get a dark zone 2.0 that puts those checks and balances in there so that, yeah, people are still going to be a-holes, but it's not going to completely ruin the experience for everyone. So that's one thing that I want to hear next when they start talking about the Division 2 again, post E3, about what their plans are going to be for the dark zone and just PvP overall.
Cool. Is there anything else before we wrap it up?
No, aside from the fact that I'm stoked. I can't wait to hear them. I just can't wait to just get my hands on them. I'm actually jealous AF because you got your hands on and we didn't.
And we did. And you know what? We had an opportunity to play the game at the Xbox Showcase. I had to do other things, but we have another opportunity.
Hopefully. Thanks for rubbing in my face. Appreciate it.
But You're going tomorrow. But before we wrap it up, question for you guys. What would you like to see in the beta? For a beta?
I kind of what I was just talking about.
Well, I was outside.
Yeah, I would like to see a full mission, what an actual mission looks like in the Division 2. Because like we said, what we played, what was not. I mean, that was just a random occurrence out in the open world. So I would like to see another random occurrence. I'd like to see an actual mission. I'd like to see what an encounter looks like. I'd like to see a sample of maybe the survivor mode as an example, but maybe bring the dark zone in, you know, because I'd be curious to see how they're going to handle the dark zone, which will give them the opportunity to get feedback on the dark zone if what they're thinking is going to work or not. So absolutely put that in there. And maybe there might be a few other surprises or unique modes in there. I'm going to say it now. I think the Division is perfect, especially the way they already do survivor mode. Ubisoft version of Battle Royale. I know we talked to some people, here at E3 that think Ubisoft's not going to do Battle Royale. They can't do Battle Royale, but actually the Division could. It could. I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying it could. So don't be surprised.
All right. The argument that was made was that Ubisoft isn't known for its PvP, right? They've had their gaffes with Dark Zone.
Rainbow Six.
Small encounters, you're limited to 5-on-5. So there's not a lot of environmental factors with respect to individual operators or players in the game.
Red Storm, Ghost Recon.
6-on-6, you're still doing, what is it, Siege Mode? Last Man Standing. Okay.
You act like this is Lord of the Rings Return of the King, like all the orcs are just running down with the elephants and all that. They're not doing that. It's still, even when you play these battle royale games, it really still is coming down to 3v3, 4v4 encounters, mostly. Yeah, there's a bunch of players out in the world, but the core engagements are still very similar. You're a battle royale guy. You tell me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong. You asked, so I'm telling you, you're wrong. Wow.
Paris's face, classic.
All jokes aside. All jokes aside, though. I don't disagree with you. I think the Dark Zone does offer a great opportunity for Ubisoft to get into the Battle Royale mode with regards to having the Division be the one that starts the charge forward. The way the Dark Zone works now, you have more than 4 to 6 people in it at any given time. Granted, they're in separate zones. Maybe increase the number of people that are in there based on the zone you are in, because the higher level zone that you're in on the Dark Zone, the higher level you have to be, or else you're just going to get worked on that first bullet that comes through. Mm-hmm. So the opportunity is there. It's a pipe dream. I would love to see it. But I don't know if that's something. I'm going to disagree with your beta option with the world, with the concept of bringing in survival. I don't know if they want to bring in too many things. You want to leave something for the actual purchase of the game. I would like to see an introduction to the Dark Zone. I would like to see them do some component of, you know, gameplay. What you played today and what we're going to be playing, you're playing a leveled up character at level 30 already. So you're already, you know, you already have your leveled up perk. You already have access to purple and yellow gear on your character. Doing that up front and early might mm-hmm. almost cheese people and give them a false sense of what the game is going to be. Because then you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to be this Billy Badass coming into the city trying to save the world. And then you get the game day one and you're on level one and you have no, you know, you've got no skill set or whatever. So we'll see. Again, still early, 8 months, 8-9 months, whatever, till launch. I'm still going to be there day one, though.
All right. Want to say anything before?
Like how you disagree with me.
But I feel like you said too much, though, Paris, for a beta. Because I feel like, keep some surprises. I think Destiny Day beta, the first one was good.
It's not a surprise when you, Game Pass, you go, oh, that was the other thing. So Game Pass. which I think was a very smart move by them, putting the original Division as a part of Game Pass on Xbox. So that gives people an opportunity to basically take a test drive with the original Division before they go. Which brings me to my second point. I disagree on not putting current modes that we are already familiar with in that beta, because it gives you a chance to test them out in the Division 2 and get feedback about them. Now, if there's some new modes, maybe you hold those back as a surprise and let people figure it out that way. But this is my opinion. I don't know nothing. But I do think at a minimum, yeah, have a mission in there, have some co-op experiences in there, and have some type of PvP mode in there as well, just so people can get a taste of how that's going to work. But for me personally, I do think an intro to the Dark Zone is essential, because I really think Massive needs to get proper feedback on that before they roll it out, you know, to the masses. And that was the other thing Julian mentioned as far as the raid goes. Don't expect it day one. They probably give people a few weeks before they roll it out, which I think is smart. Let people level mm-hmm. up and get used to the game before you do it.
Yeah, and I think that was the mistake from the first game. Within 2 days, even I think within 24 hours, those people that were already done with the first game, and there was nothing else to do after that.
Julian wasn't talking about a pink gun. That's all I know. Yes. Because that, you remember, you were there when he said, well, you could get a pink gun. I mentally tapped out right there. I go, there's no way in hell I'm playing this game for a pink gun.
Yeah, the first game. Yeah.
But now, once you finish the raid, you get that marker, whether it's going to be a sticker on your helmet, like you said, it's a pink gun, because now that signifies you at your, as they called it, the peacock moment. You know, you could sit there and be braggadocious and say, I got this.
I got this.
Because I beat the raid. I am the man.
But I mean, obviously that was a joke, but part of that is whatever the quote-unquote rewards or gear that you get from completing the raid, they need to also advance your character and make you more powerful, because that's part of the whole point. Even if it's something that its perks are catered towards that raid, which is, you know, one thing that Destiny used to do and they stopped doing, which hopefully they'll get back to now, is tailor-made those perks towards that event, but they make you more powerful in that event.
I was going to ask you that question. Yeah. I know you already finished how many raids on Destiny? How many raids?
You mean just total raids that
total raids
cleared?
That you cleared yourself?
At least 100.
More times than you've played The Division.
Okay, so
probably more.
Every
than
time you pass a raid, you get some,
yeah,
some new weapons, new gear, whatever. It helps you for the next raid, you think?
Or, yes.
Yeah. So you would like to see that?
Yes.
For The Division.
Yes. Like, I don't know, when you did King's Fall or whatever, like the weapons, like you would get weapons that actually would have a perk in it that was specific towards that raid, or the armor that you get would have some perk on it that would help you in the puzzles of that raid. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean. So whatever weapon or gear that you would get for completing the Division raid would help you the next time you go back and do the raid. Because you're not going to do it once. You're going to do it multiple times, because you're going to grind to get all the gear and the weapons out of it.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed also, and we saw it more in the PlayStation or during the press conference for Xbox, was going through the menus of the weapons and choosing your specific loadout and your weapons. I remember seeing that. I looked over to my left, and Paris just had this look like, "Oh my god!" it was things like that. And going back to your raid specific items and just your loot, etc. One thing I didn't notice was a sharing ability of the loot that you pick up in game. And I'm curious how that's going to pertain to loot gained in the raid. I don't know if that's something that they'll be able to talk about this week at E3. If not, it's definitely going to be something that's going to be on my mind for the next conversation we have with them. Because if you get end game raid loot right now in the game, whatever loot you gain, like let's say I'm playing with, you know, the people in this room, mm-hmm. I can share it with you for 24 hours in game time. Outside of that, I can't share it. I can't share it with just any random person I find. It's only people that were in the game with me in the encounter I was with. If I killed somebody, they dropped an exotic piece of loot, I can get it and I can share it. I think, and I might be wrong, I might be 8 hours or 24 hours, but there's a specific time period where I can share that with the people that were with me. If they leave the game, I can never share it with them unless I happen to be in their game with them. So I hope they don't do that with the raid, because that would almost be cheesing it. Like that should be exclusive loot that should only be to you.
Okay, I think I get what you're saying. So you are saying if something drops, I can't share it with anybody. Only I get it.
It's endgame loot. Like,
no. But yes or no, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't want that. I want that to be able to be mine specific. Call me greedy or whatever, but that shouldn't be something that you can share around and pass around. And
no, it's more for your class, right?
More for you as a character.
No, and I 100% agree. I feel like any endgame content that drops from that raid, you should not be sharing it, trading it, anything. It's for you. If you can't use it, freaking shard it. Bottom line. The other thing, and this is just because, you know, we're going to get an opportunity to probably talk to the guys from The Division again here tomorrow night or during the week or whatever. But if I don't get to ask it, I hope one of you guys ask it. It's an 8-person raid, and first hearing it is very exciting. I was like, Elizabeth, I'm coming to see you. The whole thing, I got excited, right? But I've been thinking about it a little more. Here's something that is going to be very essential if they do a raid. Number one, I do not think you should matchmake into a raid. That should not happen. It's like herding cats. It won't work. And that's in a 6-person Destiny raid. So imagine 8 people. No way in hell you should matchmake. Which also brings me to the second point on this. Getting 8 people together to do a raid and to properly communicate and all that. That is going to be a task in itself. Clan support in the in the division.
Clan support.
They need clan support. I want to see clans in the division.
Here's the thing. I know Bungie added this later for the division two, where I think
Destiny. You mean Destiny? You said Bungie, and then you said for division.
I'm tired. I'm just tired.
Yeah.
Didn't they add a matchmaking for
guys? It's called guided games, and it don't work.
And it don't work. So.
No,
so it won't work for the division.
I mean, it's not even working in Destiny right now, so I don't expect it to work in the division. But my point is, like, I'm in a clan for Destiny, so if we need to get people together, I have my clan mates that I can go to, and we pull something together and do it. You can obviously all do Reddit, LFG, or whatever, but I would like to see in-game clans, and I would like to see some coordination through that. Maybe even an in-game LFG. Take what Bungie's trying to do and perfect it. Maybe try it. I mean, like I said, I don't think the guided games thing works that great, but maybe they could take a different approach to it. But back to the original point I'm trying to make is you cannot put eight random people together and think you're completing a raid, because everybody want to be G.I. Joe and wants to be a hero. Nobody's going to listen. That's going to wind up being frustrating, and you're just not going to complete it.
It'll be a horrible experience.
And half of them won't have their mics. They won't talk.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst.
And without a mic in a coordinated raid, it's damn near impossible to go through. You need to have that vocal coordination and communication.
You definitely got to ask that question. For sure.
If they're not talking about raids, I'm not going to pose that question, because it's going to be a moot point. But if they're not talking about raids, why bring that
I don't care if they're talking about raids or not.
I have no comment on that.
I'm not going to ask the question. I'm going to say you need clan support in the division too. That's what I'm going to say, because if you're going to try and do an 8-person raid, you can't expect 8 random people to get together. You need a coordinated group of people to be able to do it. And matchmaking, if you do matchmaking, it will be a disaster. Yep. I will say that straight to Julian's face. Absolute disaster.
That's true. I agree. Because imagine playing a raid, only 2 people communicating, everybody else is crickets.
Horrible. I got the Gatling gun. I can hear it already. Oh my God.
And they run like, I got this, Rambo. Poof, he gets Leroy, shot. Yeah, like, oh, I got to drive this cat.
They're going to Leroy Jenkins themselves right into a dead encounter.
It'll be too much. I hear, okay, stay back. We're going to go on 3. 1. Why'd you go? Oh, man.
It'll be too much.
See, I'm in my head, I'm pretending and I'm getting mad already. I can just, it's going to be a nightmare.
Rage uninstalled.
But Paris, you're right, man. It's true. Like, it's different multiplayer. That's different, whatever, little missions. But raid is something different. You need a good group. You know what's the sad part, Paris? Is people that, there's people out there that don't have friends.
You better make them.
Oh my God.
No, I know. I'm being dead serious. If you don't have friends, it's not for you.
Raid is not for you.
It's not for you.
So this is why you think raids in the Destiny universe is the lowest when it comes to like playable from the Destiny
percentage
community.
Absolutely.
Because of that.
Yeah, because you need to communicate, coordinate. And look, once you've been through it a few times and you know you can start doing it in your sleep, but one of the most satisfying gaming experiences I've ever had is completing friggin' raids. It is. Because if you do it blind, if you don't know what the hell you're doing and you figure it out as a group, 6 people, now you're talking to 8 working together.
Yeah.
I can't even get freaking 5 people at my job to work together. It's like, how am I supposed to get 8? You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
it's going to be challenging.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very challenging for them.
Communication in a raid is one of the most patience trying experiences, which is why when you successfully complete that raid, it's so satisfying, because you've been able to succeed with coordination amongst 5 other cats, literally, because like you said, it's herding cats. It's like herding catnip high cats. It's impossible. So when it happens, it's like a miracle.
Like, wow.
Right? Raids will end friendships. I'm not even playing. They will end friendships.
Destiny already ruined friendships.
This is why I'd be glad you on Xbox and I've been on PlayStation. We might not be friends right now.
No, but you know what? I finished Actually, four raids.
We Sherpa'd you through those.
Yeah, but it's fine. But I finished it. I finished it.
I ain't talking about getting Sherpa'd. I'm talking about, let's go in and do a blind raid.
You know which one was really frustrating? That I was like, yo, I'm feeling like I'm not really helping the team. It was the Taken King. The Taken King raid. The first raid for the Taken King. Dude, I was freaking frustrated, yo, on that, man. It was frustrating. I couldn't... It was tough.
Okay. Let me tell you, even just last with Destiny, I know we're getting off track, but with Destiny 2, just the Leviathan one when Destiny 2 first came out, with Kallus, when he would go, I was hearing that in my sleep. It was in my sleep. I'd be, oh! That's how frustrating that was till we figured it out.
Yeah.
And the reason, I think the reason why the first one wasn't as difficult for you the second time, because, you know, we excommunicated you out of Destiny for the first one. Because it was more bullet spongy, right? He could sit there. He can more or less hide if it was at the beginning.
First of all,
oracles.
I was not hiding. Make that correction. I was not hiding on that one.
Okay, look, when we was doing the oracles,
I was dying
hiding
a lot, but I was not
when
dying.
When we were doing oracles, you were up on the way, way back, just shooting because you couldn't do anything else.
Now,
but hold on.
Yeah.
When it came time, like you said, Taken King, a lot more coordinated effort. Yeah. Where you've got to go do things and no,
and everybody has to be on point.
And if Massive can't get the LFG concept down or something akin to that in order to get to make coordination, you know, and communication of utmost importance, it's going to be a failed experiment. And that's my concern.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, Danny.
Yeah.
When you do, I guess it was hard mode back then, but Prestige, King's Fall, Oryx, like you have the 16 orb strat, and that actually became the preferred way. But before people figure that out, I will cut you if you don't listen and snipe your knight on time before he eats the orb. Oh, the knight got my orb. I'm logging off. I'm done. I'm not playing this anymore. You have no idea how frustrated that would be, man.
I'm wondering... how difficult is going to be, man, the division, dude? Like,
I hope it's super hard. I hope it's real hard.
Yeah.
I hope it's me and Pete ain't friends no more. Hard. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Oh no. Fact. It's gonna be like, all right, Paris is gonna be on the Wednesday show. I'm gonna be on the Sunday show.
Yeah.
Now. I know you guys 100% PC.
No.
What will make you? I'm not playing
with you on Xbox.
No, yo, man. Let's say PlayStation. I don't care. Whatever. I don't care. I will not play with you guys. I don't care. I will have my group.
Good.
But my question to you is, what will make you go and play the console version?
As long as it's not with you.
Shut up, B. I'm being serious.
My son, Trey.
Trey.
Yeah. But that would mean I have to get a second Xbox, that's the funny thing, because we got two PlayStations, so that's when we team up together. But even with Xbox, we only got one because we got the X. I'd have to get another one. So, I mean, I don't know.
Why are you playing PlayStation?
I don't have the division on PlayStation.
No, I'm saying why you, like the next division.
You just asked. No, but the question you just asked.
Console.
Me,
I didn't say Xbox.
Oh, I thought you said Xbox.
No. See, you're Emerald. Go ahead, Pete. Say something.
I would recommend you go to discord.gg/GTR and join our community.
Yeah.
And then you could play with like-minded gamers and join one of the division channels and play with members from the community.
Yeah. I think it's great. Or if not, you know, there's so many other community members out there you could play, you know, but yeah, it's going to be really tricky. I know it's really early. It's still early. I'm just curious about the whole raid, though, man. They say eight players.
No, but again, I know we've just been kind of clowning around with it. That it has me very excited. I mean, all, you know, hesitant, you know, potential issues aside, as far as grouping people together, just the potential of doing an 8-person raid in the division has me excited. I want to see it. I want to experience it. I want to complete it and have that badge of honor to say that I did it. And the fact that they're already promising multiple raids will get, dude, all I'm saying is I came late to the party with the division, I think for very good reason. But, you know, I finally decided to jump in. There was plenty of people out in the community. Like, I had a person, like, literally give me a copy of the game. He wanted me to play it so bad. D Moore in our community. And I'm glad he did. I'm glad that I finally jumped in and started playing it. And, I mean, I really like it. And after playing the Division 2 today, I'm even more excited. Like I said, I just can't wait to hear more about it.
Yep. Make sure to listen to our interview with Justin, right? That's the creative director of Massive.
Julian.
Julian.
You were close. You were almost, you had
I know it right started
there.
With a G.
You were right there.
But yeah, make sure to listen to the interview. I think it was a fantastic interview.
Yeah,
he was very open. So make sure to listen to it and let us know what you think. I think we should wrap it up. Anything else?
That's it.
That's it?
Oh, hey, I do think it was funny, though. I think the Destiny Ninjas ears were burning today because all of a sudden I got all kind of Destiny love from certain people at the end of the day. Remember?
Really?
Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. Huh. That was funny.
Now, Paris, we haven't seen the Ubisoft. Right now we're recording. We haven't seen the Ubisoft press conference. If they say these two things, content is free for the year, a player raid, what you think will be like the reaction from the Destiny community?
Oh, I can already tell you what the reaction is going to be. Why in the hell are we spending $30 on an annual pass? That's exactly what they're going to say. Why aren't we getting what the Division players community is getting, and they're getting a year of content for free where you're making us spend $30? That's going to be a problem. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a problem because you already had people when they announced that the annual pass earlier in the week saying, you gave us basically an alpha game that's broken that you're charging us $40 just to fix it in September, number one. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you're going to charge us another $30 to get additional content. So people were already complaining about that. And I had even been tweeting that I see both sides of it. I understand why people are saying that. I go, I'm going to be real. I'm wind up getting the content anyways because I like playing the game. So it's going to happen. But I do understand why people are looking at it that way and saying that you're gating all this content into this lump sum of $30. I don't get to pick and choose which pieces of content that I want to pick up and which I don't. Mm-hmm. So I think you've seen it with Battlefield now. We've seen with the Division, we're starting to go to this model. We've seen like Halo 5's done it. I know Titanfall 2 has done it where they just don't charge you for DLC because they don't want to splinter the community. This has the potential of backfiring on Activision. It does. And when you have a game, if the Division 2 knocks it out of the park the way I think they might knock it out of the park, you're going to see more and more people leave Destiny or not even come back to Destiny because a lot of people haven't come back yet. And they're going to go over there and they're going to be an agent and run around Washington, D.C. It's just a fact.
Yeah. Man, I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see Twitter tomorrow when it goes official.
I hope they do mention it, Activision. I mean, Activision, massive.
Well, they have to at this point because we just mentioned it. So, everyone's going to talk about it. So, they're going to talk about it in their press conference. I'd be shocked if they didn't. They would have told us not to say anything.
Yeah, I'm dying to see the crowd reaction at the crowd there at the press conference. You know? Yeah. So, all right. Well, we have a lot of more content. Make sure to tune in, GamerTagRadio.com. We have a lot of content. So, stay tuned and great conversation, man. Until next time, we're out.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.